Getting something? Anything? And on this one, okay, I'll grab my. And the third. This is the head-worn. Cool.
Seth, do you want this left on when I put it here or turn it off for now? And okay, you can turn it on. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Zion. It is so good to see your smiling faces and to be in this building again. Some of you, I feel like I haven't seen in a long time. I've seen you on the screen, but not here in person. So it's good to be together in this place. We want to welcome our visitors here with us this morning. And if you are using your Wi-Fi right now, we'd like to ask you to turn it off because it does conflict with our Wi-Fi that we're using to have Zoom available to those that are at home. So please turn your Wi-Fi off for 1 hour while you're here in the sanctuary this morning. If you have an announcement, please come forward at this time. I want to remind you that there are reports up front that you can pick up from Bill Blank and some of his interim work that he did this last year. Those are available. Also, we're trying to make a picture.
The reports are missing every other page.
Oh, okay. The reports, if you picked a report up this morning, they're missing every other page. So come to me and we will fix that. Come talk to me after the service and we'll get that fixed. We're trying to put together a picture directory for the Bomar family, for Pastor Steve. So please, it's easy to do, you guys, with a smartphone. Take a picture, take a selfie, and send it to the church email. And we want to put together photos of us as Steve gets to know who we are. So do that, it's easy. There's information in the bulletin about that. Next Sunday, we will have Bridging Cultures here to share the work that they have done this past year, taking care of our farmers and workers in the field and providing information and supplies for them that were COVID related. So we look forward to having them here next Sunday. Other announcements?
Hi everyone. So VBS is only 3 weeks away and we still need volunteers. The good news is all the big positions have been filled. So what's left are the easier jobs. Not a lot of forethought, not a lot of planning, just show up, herd some kids around from spot to spot. Easy peasy stuff. But we do need like 15 people and the deadline's quickly approaching. So please, please, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. There's also the online sign-up sheet. Either one's fine. And again, the dates on that is from July 25th to the 29th, from 6:15 to 8:15. And for all of you who have volunteered, thank you so much. I know it's 4 nights a week, but it's really helpful and we really appreciate it. Thanks.
Good morning. Based on the current state recommendations in accordance with state order number 2115, and I don't know who looked that up, it was not me. Zion leadership team has decided to remove all COVID-19 related restrictions for Sunday morning services. You're of course welcome to continue to wear a mask if you choose, and please be respectful of others' comfort levels with distancing. And remember that children ages 12 and under cannot be vaccinated, so be cautious.
I'm going to read from Psalm 100, and at the end of that reading, we're going to say a prayer together that is in your bulletin called We Come. So just have that available, and we will pray that prayer together at the end of this reading. This is Psalm 100 from the Message. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people. his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Join me in the prayer we come. Glorious God, we come together as your people. We come as a praising people, singing your goodness. We come as a hungry people, longing to be fed. We come as a praying people, bringing our needs, our joys. We come as a journeying people, looking for direction. In this hour of worship, empower us for faithful living. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Clyde, would you come and lead us in singing?
Gosh, it's been a long time. For our first song today, I've chosen out of the new hymnal, number one. This is a song that is very familiar to us by the tune, but not the words. And for that reason, I want to encourage you to especially look at the words in this new song, old song. Number one, please stand if you're able.
Summoned by the God who made us rich in our diversity, gathered in the name of Jesus, richer still in unity. Let us bring the gifts of differ and in splendor varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Radiant from the river, robed in holiness and light. Every person in God's image, every person God's delight. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendor varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Trust the goodness of creation, trust the Spirit strong within. Dare to dream the vision promise sprung from seed of what has been. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendor varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Bring the hopes of every nation, bring the art of every race. Weave a song of peace and justice, let it sound through time and space. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendor varied ways, sing a new church into being, faith and love and praise. Draw together at one table, all the human family. Shape a circle ever wider, and a people ever free. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendor vary ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and grace.
It was familiar to you, just haven't changed the word. Okay, number 107 in the same book, 107. This one is familiar to all of us. Thank you. I'm out of practice.
Oh, 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 wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taken away my burden, setting my spirit free, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkle like a fountain, all fortitious grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater than my whole sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, living my liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkle like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater than my soul of sin and shame. Oh, magnify the name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most revile. By its transforming power, make me God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkle like the fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater than all my sin and shame.
Time for the children's story. So, children, please come up front and join Gina up here on the stage.
Thank you. Okay. There you go. All settled. This story is called When God Made You by Matthew Paul Turner, and it's pictures are by David Catrock. You see the picture? Okay. Here we go. You. When God made you, God made you all shiny and new. An incredible you. A you all your own. A you unlike anyone else ever known. An exclusive design, one God refined. You're perfectly crafted and one of a kind. From the beginning, very beginning of history and time, you, little one, never left God's mind. God imagined your eyes and your head shape and size, and he knew what you'd look like when you look surprised. Over billions of faces from cultures and races, God made from all different places. God knew your name. Your picture is framed, and God's family without you would not be the same. Because when God made you, this much is true, the world got to meet who God already knew. You, when God sees you, God delights in what is and what is only. Sorry, I'm going to have to switch hands, guys. Let's do it this way. Better? You, when God sees you, God delights in what is and sees only what's true. You, yes, you, in all of your glory, bring color and rhythm to God's story. So you, fully you, a show-stopping review. Live your life in full color, every hint, every hue. Explore and discover, have faith but love more, and learn and relearn that God made you for. Because God loves you, creating your true self, displaying when light on the inside through art is portraying. When you dance alone, spinning like a cyclone, bring whoever, whatever, in a world all your own. You ever do that? You dance like a cyclone, Isaac? I feel like you do. God smiles, and here's why. In the spark of your eye, a similar reflection shines bright from inside. Because when God made you, and the world oohed and awed, in heaven they called you an image of God. You, and God dreams about you. God dreams about all that in you will be true. That you, God's you, will be helpful and kind, a giver who gives with all heart, soul, and mind. A dreamer who dreams in big and small themes, one who keeps dreaming in journeys upstream. You see that flower? I like that one. A mover, a shaker of nature. A builder of bridges, you, the peacemaker. A you who views others as sisters and brothers and lives by three words. Do you know what they are? Love one another. A confident you, strong and brave, true. You being you is God's dream coming true. Because when God made you, all of heaven was beaming. Over you, God was already smiling and dreaming. Yeah. You like that one? Yeah. Like that one? Yeah. Okay, let's do a prayer, okay? Dear God, Thank you for being the one who made us, who stays with us, who loves us, and knows us more than anyone else. Be with us as we venture back out into the world. Keep us safe because you know what will happen to each one of us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Gina. We aren't going to do our traditional offering with ushers this morning, but you know that there's a box in the back that you can leave your tithes. We want to say thank you again, over and over, for your giving, your thoughts of generosity this past year when we could not be together. So for a while, we will continue this way. I would just say for the summer months, we're not going to get everything kicked in like is normal. We're going to keep things simplified, and then we're hoping come fall, everything will be kind of back to what it was. Let's pray over our offering. God, you are the giver of all good things. May your grace flow through us like a generous stream, unstoppable, refreshing, and abundant. We release these gifts into your river of love, flowing out to all the world. Amen. Anne and I will be reading scripture this morning. So I've invited Anne to help me. I think it's good that you guys see her and know who she is up front. So Steve is preaching from the book of Titus. And I will be reading from Titus 1, 10 through 16. In fact, there are many who are rebellious people, loudmouths, and deceivers, especially some of those who are Jewish believers. They must be silenced because they upset entire households. They teach what they shouldn't to make money dishonestly. Someone who is one of their own prophets said, "People from Crete are always liars, wild animals, and lazy gluttons." This statement is true. Because of this, correct them firmly so that they can be healthy in their faith. They shouldn't pay attention to Jewish myths and commands from people who reject the truth. Everything is clean to those who are clean, but nothing is clean to those who are corrupt and without faith. Instead, their mind and conscience are corrupted. They claim to know God, but they deny God by the things that they do. They are detestable, disobedient, and disqualified to do anything good.
The next reading is from Galatians 2, 1 through 5. Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem again with Barnabas, and I took Titus along also. I went there because of a revelation, and I laid out the gospel that I preached to the Gentiles for them. But I did it privately with the influential leaders to make sure that I wouldn't be working or that I hadn't worked for nothing. However, not even Titus, who was with me and who was a Greek, was required to be circumcised. But false brothers and sisters, who were brought in secretly, slipped in to spy on our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, and to make us slaves. We didn't give in and submit to them for a single moment, so that the truth of the gospel would continue to be with you.
Peace be with you. Well, let's jump right in. One of the main questions from last week was, whose story are we listening to? In verse 9 of chapter 1, Paul tells Titus that those who lead the church should pay attention, pay close attention to the reliable message as it has been taught. The world we live in tells us all kinds of stories. Stories that teach us how to make sense of what we know and what we experience. Whether you live in first century Crete or 21st century Oregon, we're being told stories with fancy, well, sociologists refer to those types of stories with the fancy word meta-narrative. Wikipedia defines meta-narrative as a narrative, a story of historical meaning, experience, or knowledge that offers a society legitimation. Mostly, what that means is that we learn through the stories we're told. We learn how to live, how to act, how to relate to others, and how to make sense of what we experience. Paul understood this, and that's why Paul was so very clear about making sure leaders of the churches in Crete were being shaped by the story of Jesus. Who Jesus was, what Jesus taught, how Jesus interacted with the world, and Jesus' death and resurrection. The story we find ourselves in is crucial for understanding who we are and how to relate to others. Whether the stories are obvious or subtle, they exist, and we play a role in retelling them. Today, July 4th, has some great examples of how stories we tell shape our understanding of things. A few years ago, my family and I, we were at the Kaiser Volcanoes baseball game on July 4th. I like watching minor league baseball, probably because it seems just a bit more accessible. Compared to major league baseball, it's easier to get close to the action, to the game, and I can get decent seats and dinner for a family of four without taking out a loan. So on July 4th, we're watching the Kaiser Volcanoes game, and it was followed by a fireworks show. And whenever I go to a 4th of July fireworks show that has music, I expect to hear something specific. I expect to hear two songs. They're always almost part of fireworks shows. And I don't expect to hear them because a fireworks show wouldn't be proper without these songs, but I've come to expect them just because every 4th of July show seems to have these two songs in them. They are Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen and America by Neil Diamond. America, or They're Coming to America, as we might better know it, it's Neil Diamond's second most popular song. It comes in a little ways behind another favorite played at baseball games. Anybody want to guess that one? Sweet Caroline. Yes, let's all do it together. Sweet Caroline, ba, ba, ba. Good times never seem so good, so good, so good, so good. Yes, okay. So those two songs, Born in the USA and America, always seem to find their way into 4th of July celebrations. And both songs tell stories about how each artist understands life in America. For Mr. Diamond, America is a place of hope, a place where refugees willing to put in an honest day of hard work can find prosperity. The lyrics go like this in verse 1, far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star. Free, only want to be free, we huddle close and hang on to a dream. On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America. Never looking back again, they're coming to America. Home. Don't it seem so far away? Oh, we're traveling light today in the eye of the storm. Home. To a new and shiny place. Make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm. And the final chorus, everywhere around the world, they're coming to America. Got a dream to take them there. They're coming to America today, today. Neil Diamond's song, it's inspirational. I long to live and be a part of a place like in Neil Diamond's song. Neil tells us a story about America, about those who long to come here and a hope that comes with living in America. Then there's the boss, Bruce Springsteen's story. It's not quite as hopeful, and yet it seems to be sung with just as much inspiration, perhaps more inspiration and passion, by all the same fans that sing America. I wonder often if at baseball games, when we join in to sing Born in the USA, we've ever really paid attention to the lyrics. Verse one goes, born down in a dead man's town, the first kick I took was when I hit the ground. You end up like a dog that's been beat too much, till you spend half your life just covering up. Born in the USA. I was born in the USA. Skipping on to verse three, I had a brother in Khe Sanh fighting off the Viet Cong. They're still there. He's all gone. He had a woman he loved in Saigon. I got a picture of him in her arms. Down in the shadow of the penitentiary, out by the gas fires of the refinery. I'm 10 years burning down the road, nowhere to run, ain't got nowhere to go, because I was born in the USA. These two songs couldn't portray more different images of life in America. Yet, they both have a place of honor in every July 4th across the United States. Both musicians, Neil Diamond and Bruce Springsteen, sing these songs and communicate a vision, a story of life in America. Those pictures of American life are examples of competing narratives that shape our understanding and shape how we live and relate to others in America. One, hopeful, optimistic, and perhaps a bit naive. The other, hopeless, abused, and defeated. My aim in shining a light on these two stories isn't to say which one is more accurate than the other or which one you should sing louder. Just to show our culture tells stories, and oftentimes we're not aware of all the different ways that these stories are coming at us. These stories show us how to make sense of our world and history, and again, tell us our role in the world. The stories we listen to shape us, especially if those stories connect with what we experience. Like these two stories from Bruce Springsteen and Neil Diamond about America. When stories are significantly different, they cause a tension, and we feel that tension. We have to find a way to reconcile that. This last week, Thursday, July 1st, was Canada Day. It's similar to our July 4th in the United States, but for Canada, many of this year's Canada Day celebrations turned somber and reflective due to recent discoveries of the remains of hundreds of Indigenous children in unmarked graves found at residential schools. These residential schools began in the mid-1800s. They were an attempt to assimilate Indigenous children into the dominant Canadian culture. Residential schools separated Indigenous children from their families. They were funded by Canadian government's Department of Indian Affairs. And most of these schools were run by Christian churches and organizations. Canada has often been celebrated for its reputation of tolerance, of multiculturalism, and celebrating diversity. But discoveries like this, like these remains, they've caused Canadians to reckon with the colonialism of their past. The stories in history books did not include the truth of events like these, of the residential schools, of the atrocities that took place. With new discoveries, we learn more about the stories we have been told. and we often come face to face with difficult realities that cause significant tension. Much like Canada, we in the United States have a lot of truth-telling to do about our history. The stories we tell, the stories that matter in our culture. With that, let's get back to the stories in Titus. In this passage of Titus, Paul comes off as extremely stern, to say the least. Rebellious people, loudmouths, deceivers, they must be silenced. They upset entire households, teach what they shouldn't to make money. They're detestable, disobedient, and disqualified to do anything good. While Paul gives us all kinds of reasons why these people should be silenced, he doesn't get into the specifics about the error in teaching that's led to so many issues. For that, we can look at Galatians, another letter written by Paul long before the letter to Titus. Galatians gives us some clues as to why Paul is so worked up. The main issue in Galatians is that some were teaching that one must follow Old Testament law and become Jewish. Specifically, follow the Old Testament law about circumcision to be a follower of Jesus. These were Old Testament Jewish cleanliness laws. Paul adamantly defends the Gentile believers, like Titus, and the freedom they have been given through Christ. In Galatians 4:8, Paul explains, "At the time when you didn't know God, you were enslaved by things that aren't God's by nature. But now, after knowing God, or rather being known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless world system? Do you want to be slaves again?" For Paul and for the church in Galatia, the presenting issue is circumcision. But what's at stake is their freedom in Christ. Before Jesus, the Galatians were following other gods, other religions that caused them to observe all kinds of rules and laws. They had religious days, and they followed all of these rules and laws out of fear. They were enslaved by that fear. They'd sacrifice to a certain god for a plentiful harvest, and another god for rain, and another for peace, and another for prosperity. If they sacrificed to the wrong god at the wrong time, they feared retribution. If they didn't sacrifice to the right god at the right time, retribution. This is what Paul is referring to when he says, you were enslaved by things that aren't God's by nature. Knowing God, or rather being known by God, brings freedom from fear of such retribution. The Galatians are no longer slaves to things that aren't God's by nature because of the freedom that Jesus Christ brings on the cross. That's where the Galatians were at. Then others come along. And they try to teach the Galatians they must be circumcised and follow Old Testament laws. The Galatians relinquish their freedom won by Christ and become slaves again. In Galatians 4:4, Paul writes, "But when the fulfillment of the time came, God sent his son, born through a woman and born under the law." This was so he could redeem those under the law so that we could be adopted, because you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And if you are his child, then you are also an heir of God. The issue in Galatia is not that the non-Jewish followers of Jesus were willing to become subject and enslaved by the same law, the same law that from which Christ had set them free. It's that they did that out of fear. Fear was the religious system they had previously known. Religion motivated by fear was familiar. In their old religious system, fear motivated them to worship, to sacrifice, to pray. But in Christ, they had received their freedom as sons and daughters, heirs of the kingdom of God. These new teachers had come in and taken away that freedom by teaching they must follow Old Testament cleanliness laws. That was the issue in Galatia. And Titus was there and around to see it. By the time the letter to Titus is written by Paul, Paul has been through this slaves to the law debate so many times that I imagine he's getting quite impatient and frustrated. So Paul uses some strong language and some choice words. They shouldn't pay attention to Jewish myths and commands from people who reject the truth. In Crete, the issue is essentially the same as that in Galatia. Cretan believers are accustomed to a fear-based religious system. The Greek gods and goddesses are not known for their benevolence, but instead for their wrath, for their drunkenness and stubbornness and irritability and unfaithfulness. So you'd better worship well, worship often, and hope you don't get caught on the wrong side of Zeus's lightning bolt. But grace, not fear, is the foundation of following Christ. Freedom as heirs of God's kingdom, not enslavement, is what is accomplished on the cross. The Cretan believers have been set free from fear of those who sit on Mount Olympus. So why would they subject themselves once again to enslavement from Jewish myths and commands? It's because those who are accustomed with avoiding ways they might be made unclean, they begin to see the entire world, even God's good creation, as something unclean. This is the situation in Crete. It makes Titus and those soon to be appointed as elders and leaders aware of what they need to address. So by paying attention and teaching the reliable message, the freedom that they have been set free from the fear that once enslaved them, they've been made sons and daughters of God, heirs of the kingdom. Whether it's Mount Olympus or false teachings insisting one must follow Old Testament law for salvation, the Cretan followers of Jesus must not take up the old ways of religion enslaved by fear. Okay, that's them, Galatians, Cretans. But what about us? We don't live in Galatia or Crete. We don't fear, probably, the lightning bolt of Zeus or the wrath of Poseidon. We don't have people trying to convince us we must follow all Old Testament cleanliness laws in order to follow Jesus. But if I may get close to home for a minute, we, just as easily as the Galatians and the Cretans, succumb to fear and even fear-based religion. Our culture is good at capitalizing on our fears. Fear-based religion, it deserves a much deeper dive than we can give it today. But we're not immune to fear-based religion, the fear of hell, the fear of being excommunicated or shunned by our community, or not fitting in because we don't follow the rules as well. Fear of the stigma of a mental health issue or admitting abuse happens just as often in the church. Fear of victim shaming, or that we will simply cease to belong because we don't quite match or measure up. For one reason or another, with the beliefs, behaviors, and expectations of our faith community. Another fear, FOMO. F-O-M-O, the fear of missing out. Now, this one has actually just been emerging in the last 5 years or so. FOMO is the anxiety that an existing or interesting event may currently be happening somewhere else without me being there. I might miss it. It's the fear of missing out. This is most often sparked by posts seen on social media. Next, another fear that we come into contact with, scarcity mindset. When we become so obsessed with a lack of something, we can't seem to focus on anything else. Anyone remember just over a year ago? Stores couldn't keep toilet paper or canned beans on the shelves. Okay, we weren't using more toilet paper. As a nation, we didn't suddenly become more regular. We got scared. We thought that there would be no more toilet paper. It was fear, and fear motivated our society as a whole to hoard toilet paper. We responded by buying something because that is what we as Americans do when we feel out of control. We buy things. Last, two-party politics. Politics that constantly dehumanize the other party, the other person, the other candidate. We create absurd worst-case scenarios in an attempt to elicit fear, a fear reaction that causes us to donate or vote or protest or all three. We are followers of Jesus. Politicians, parties, and a political platform has not set us free. Christ has set us free, and that is where our primary identity lies. I'm not saying don't engage in politics. No, please vote and engage. In 1774, John Wesley, can I say old habits die hard? He sounds very Anabaptist, though, and he says this: I met those of our society who had votes in the ensuing election, and I advised them to vote without fee or reward for the person or issue they judged most worthy, to speak no evil of the person they voted against, and to take care their spirits are not sharpened against those that voted on the other side. So engage in politics, but not at the sake of your relationship with Christ, and not at the sake of dehumanizing another. There's been plenty to fear this past year and a half. There are real reasons to take precautions, what with a global pandemic and wildfires and ice storms and power outages, and now something called a heat bubble that caused record high temperatures just last week. Appropriate fear is a sign of stable mental health. If I see a bear while hiking, my fear causes me to back away to a safe distance, like a mile or five. When people use fear, when our culture uses fear for personal gain, and they're quick to offer a solution, it's their solution. When someone can create a fear response in us, they then have the opportunity to offer themselves or their agenda as the only thing that can save us from that fear. In the letter to Titus, the Cretan believers were faced with fear. Their culture told stories, meta-narratives that invoked fear, worship the gods and goddesses of Olympus for fear of retribution, honor and worship Caesar or face the wrath of Roman justice, follow Old Testament law because it's the only thing that makes a right relationship with God possible. All those stories have fear as their central motivator, fear that enslaves. And into that culture of fear, Christ brings freedom by telling the one true story of reconciliation and redemption. That same freedom from fear is offered to us. Paul's words from Galatians 4:7 ring true for us 2,000 years later. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And if you are his child, then you are also an heir through God. So let's commit to paying more attention to God's invitation to freedom, to avoiding the fear that enslaves us. To begin doing that, I'd like to teach you a song as a response. It's a song in your hymnal, 195. Gonna change modes here. I have to confess, I learned this song in the context of contemporary worship, and that's a wonderful thing, but it also, the dots and lines, those tend to be just suggestions and are open to interpretation. So if you're reading music and you're looking at those and you notice, hey, that's not what he's doing up there, that's why... often dots and lines to me are just sort of suggestions. But I'll do my best to follow along. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's stand together as we continue to sing. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child. God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Amen. You can have a seat.
Going to have our prayer and share time, and I know because we haven't been together like this for a while, I don't know if I should put a time limit on our sharing, but I'll kind of watch the clock. I'm going to ask Andy if you would come and have this mic available for people down here that want to share. I will stay up here and just record those requests. We want our people on Zoom to be able to hear what people are sharing, but if you have a prayer or a praise this morning, you can raise your hand and you. While you're thinking about what to share, I want to ask those that have been at Drift Creek as a camper, as a volunteer, as a cook, as a pastor, would you just stand for a moment? We can see those that have been involved with Drift Creek just the last couple weeks. Yes, yay. Thank you. We're going to pray for Drift Creek in a moment. Don Yoder.
This is Don. I want to thank everyone.
Make sure the mic's turned on. So.
All right, this is Don. I want to thank everybody who sent cards and called, asking me how I was and sharing their concerns. It meant a lot.
Thank you, Don. It's good to see you here, recovered from your bike accident. We're glad that you can be with us. Thank you for sharing. Karen Krupp.
Yes, I just would like, this is not a prayer request, but I would like to introduce you to someone that has been joining us on Zoom, Ruth and Doug Meyer from Archbold, Ohio. Yeah.
Would you guys stand, Ruth and Doug, just so we can see?
They're just visiting today, but they have family in Portland, and they are from the Zion Mennonite Church in Archbold, Ohio. And they have been joining us in Zoom through this last year.
Good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. Any other prayers or sharing? Okay, we want to remember several things in our prayers. And as we end this morning, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. We want to lift up Dick Hansen, who is recovering from a heart attack and had a stent put in. We want to pray for Drift Creek Camp that is continuing through the summer. There's many good things happening in faith formation at our camp this summer. And many of you would have seen the email this week that went out from John and Naomi Lederach about Naomi's declining health. We want to remember them in prayer. And Mennonite Church USA convention is going on this coming week that Steve and I, along with Pat Hirschberger, will be participating in their delegate sessions, also worship sessions, speakers that will be going on this week. Let's go to prayer. God, we come before you as the body of Christ, knowing that you are with us, knowing that you hear us when we call on you. Thank you, Lord, for how you nourish and sustain us through words
through your presence, through the gathering of your people. Strengthen the people of your church. We pray for those who suffer illness, disease, or grief. Lord, we lift them to you this morning. Thank you for being with Dick Hansen. Thank you for doctors and nurses who have cared for him and brought him through surgery. We ask that you would be near to him and Dot today. Give him rest and strength in his recovery. And I want to thank you for Jared, Jody, and Gina, and others who have given their care and support this past week. Lord, we pray for special comfort and peace today for John and Naomi Lederach. May they know your peace that passes understanding. And we give you thanks for the support and love of their families. Thank you for the ways they have touched our lives over the years. We ask that you would fill them with your great thankfulness and perfect love. Lord, we pray for the Gaylor family and the passing of Joyce, Vernon Gaylor's daughter, this past week. We ask for your comfort, for your encouragement to those of the family. We want to lift Lauren and Carol to you as they help in this sad news and help make decisions. Thank you, God, for Drift Creek Camp, for volunteers, worship leaders, camp pastors, cooks, counselors, teen volunteers, and campers. We ask that there would be a blessing for each person this summer that is a part of camp. Thank you for the friendships, the hospitality, your love being expressed in a beautiful place of goodness and beauty. And we pray for rest when needed for those that continue to bring energy and enthusiasm to campers. God, we pray for the broader Mennonite church gathering this week. We ask that you would knit together strong bonds of faith and unity as people meet in person and virtually for these special times together. And as we gather on July 4th, we thank you, God, for this land where we live, the freedoms that we have. Help us strive to be good citizens of this country, knowing that as we work for the common good of all, we are a part of your kingdom, God. As Jesus followers, help us to give of ourselves to our church community, practicing our faith, loving our neighbors. Lord, thank you for Don Yoder's good health and recovery, that he can be with us this morning. We just pray that you would continue to strengthen him and have him know your presence. We lift all these things this morning and pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Would you stand with me for our benediction? Hear these words. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit. that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.